Now you'll find my text this morning in Psalm 56 and verse 8. Psalm 56 and verse 8. Let us hear God's word. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Dear congregation, we consider here the psalmist placing his faith in the Lord, bringing his tears unto him, or maybe invited to a feast. They hold a plate in one hand and a cup in another. And when we think of that cup, someone else has poured liquid into it. Well, in a spiritual way, the Lord fills our cup. We have a share or a portion. For example, in Psalm 16, verse 5, we read, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. And that's so amazing. When we think of our portion, our cup, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. We have the Lord. Now, when one is weary, they need to bring their cup, as it were, and lift it to the Lord. They have the Lord, but they need more grace. More grace they will find. The cup is lifted by prayer, and more grace flows into it, and mercy. And the psalmist knew it. He would lift up his cup to the Lord. Well, we bring our cup often to the Lord, and we look to that portion, that share of grace, we also bring our tears. And often when we bring our cup, we look to the Lord for more grace, more of his portion. We often bring our tears to him. And with that in mind, I'd like us to consider this theme this morning. I bring my tears to thee. I bring my tears to thee. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? He is the all-compassionate Heavenly Father who so loves us. Therefore, we can go to him and we can bring our tears to him. David penned this psalm, particularly we note in the title, when the Philistines took him in Gath. David had resorted there, but soon found himself in trouble. This is all recorded for us in 1 Samuel 21, verses 10 through to verse 15. Now we have an interesting name in the title, which helps us to further understand the background to this psalm. We read, to the chief musician upon Jonaphelem Rechokem. And literally, dove of silence, among those of distant places or strangers. What a fitting name to find in the title, in the first verse of the psalm. David knew what it was to be silent in the midst of his enemies, like a dove in the midst of his enemies. And why? Because of fear. What might they do to him? It was because of fear he had fled, the fear of Saul, 1 Samuel 21, verse 10, that he had come to this far-off place, and now he was silent. He was in fear like a dove there in that place. Now in verses 1 and 2, we read, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up, for he fighting daily oppresseth me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for there be many that fight against me, O thou most high. You see, he was fearful. His enemies surrounded him, and they were against him. They would swallow him up, as we note in verse 1. They fought against him. He had many an enemy. There was Saul, but particularly now he considers the Philistines. What would they do to him? Would they seek revenge for what he had done to their champion, Goliath? And as we observe the opening part of this psalm, he pleads for mercy as he pours out his complaint to the Lord. As it were, he lifts the cup And he desires that the Lord would fill it with mercy. So we see his earnest plea. But then also we observe in this psalm his assured confidence, the hope he had in God and his word. Notice verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. He acknowledges that he will be afraid at times. He's only human. But at such a time, he will trust in the Lord, because he knows that the Lord will help him. Verse 4. Not only his assured confidence, his trust, but we read in verse 4, in God I will praise his word, in God I have put my trust, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And then verse 11, in God have I put my trust, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. In verse 8, we see his comfort, that the Lord was not unmindful of his affliction and sorrow. But we also see his exercise of faith. He looks to the Lord and he brings his tears unto him. Finally, we have David's resolve here that he would praise the Lord. We note it in verse 10 and in verse 12. Just note verse 12 this time. Thy vows are upon me, O God, I will render praises unto thee. In the midst of difficulties, his resolve is still to praise the Lord. And is it not our resolve, in the midst of affliction, in the midst of difficulties, to praise the Lord? It's our resolve, it's our desire, and the Lord looks on the desire. Remember Paul and Silas, they were surrounded in that prison, and they praised the Lord. Oh, to praise the Lord in the fires. Oh, to praise the Lord in the midst of our enemies, even if it be with tears, like the psalmist here in this psalm. Well, having said this, we come now to our text in verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? And two things for us this morning. First of all, my tears, and secondly, God's bottle. My tears and God's bottle. Let's read again verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottom. Are they not in thy book? Yeah. At the beginning of the verse, we are given or presented with the overriding affliction that he found himself in. My wanderings, as we note there in verse 8. And as we think of his wanderings, he would shed many a tear as he would go from place to place. David, because of Saul, found himself going on to another place and then to another place. He went to Ramah, where Samuel was, in 1 Samuel 19, verse 18. We read there also of Naoth, that was in Ramah, chapter 20, verse 1. Then he returned to Jonathan after Woods to Elimelech, the priest in Nob. And now he finds himself in Gath. And so we consider his wanderings thus far in this particular affliction because of Saul. And throughout these wanderings, going from place to place, he suffered and great sorrow filled his heart. And often the tears would flow. His wanderings. He was in exile. He knew much loneliness. He was like a fugitive, disappearing from one place and then appearing in another. Thou tellest my wanderings. Dear congregation, as we think of the tears this morning, some of the Lord's people know what it is to shed tears in their wanderings. They've had to move from place to place. We heard last evening in Totten of a little report of the situation for believers in Ukraine, what they have faced, and many believers in Ukraine have gone from place to place. Some waited hours to cross the border into freedom and safety. Many tears have flowed down the faces of believers in Ukraine. My wanderings, Well, first of all, the psalmist thinks of his physical wanderings here, going from place to place, the hardships he knew, and the many tears he shed on the way, but also he would think of the wanderings in his mind. The Lord's people face many a trial, wherein they may be restless when their minds are on the move. We can think physically, my wanderings, David, but when he was wandering, there was something going on within. We know that because in verse 8 we read, put down my tears into thy bottom. Are they not in thy book? Restlessness. Wanderings in the mind. You think for David, when he was wandering physically from place to place, fear would come. He would be perplexed, anxious at times. Or think of the wanderings within. Sometimes the fear can be magnified and the anxiety multiplied. Job 14 verse 4, Job describes there his restlessness. Rather, Job 7 verse 4, when I lie down, I say, when shall I arise? And the night be gone, and I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. He lies down. He longs for the morning because he's restless. He's full of tossing to and fro unto the dawning of the day. Often for me, I hit the bed and then it's morning. Very rarely, but sometimes there is the restlessness. And it's hard. There's the wanderings in the mind. We wander from place to place. We reflect upon certain things. Where we were, that situation. And then we go to another situation. We wander in our minds. And as a result, tears have made the pillows wet in the night. It's hard when one can't sleep and they wander from one subject to another, from one sorrow to another. In a moment we're going to sing those words in Psalm 6 verse 6. I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. There's the psalmist. He's been wandering in his mind in the night. He's been on his bed. He hasn't physically wandered, but in his mind he has. And such that the tears have flowed down. And he's made his bed to swim. And he's watered his couch with his tears. I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. The one particular reason in Psalm 6 was as he fought over his sin, but also as he fought over other trials. Wanderings. The tears flowed down. Sometimes they do in the daytime, but often it's in the nighttime, isn't it? When we lie down, sometimes we begin to reflect. Yes, we look to the Lord, we pray, and we trust him, but then we begin to wander at times. Not always, but sometimes. Often in the night time, isn't it? The tears flow as we wander from subject to subject in our minds. Well, as we think of David's wanderings, consider this life and the journeys we make. There are the wanderings through the valleys of affliction. There have been those days of affliction. Well, as you think of those valleys, sometimes the valley is short, sometimes the valley is long. For David, he would stay a little time in one place, in another place a little longer, and in another place a little shorter. And some of our valleys are long, some of our valleys are a little shorter. We make our journeys in this world, and this world is like a wilderness. It's referred to, is it not, in Isaiah 32 verse 2, as a weary land. Now we're thankful for the green pastures in this weary land, aren't we? And particularly when the shepherd makes us lie down in the green pastures. That makes all the difference, doesn't it? We can come to a green pasture, but we're wandering in our minds, but the shepherd comes, he who is the Prince of Peace, And he has that effect to calm the mind, that we might rest a little while, even if it be but for a few moments, that we might feed from the green pasture. Thankfully, it's not all valley. There are the green pastures, but this world is like a wilderness. It's a weary land, but we're not alone. In Isaiah 32, verse 2, we read, "And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." O the Lord there, he who is the king, he is the man in verse 2. He's a hiding place from the wind of adversity. He's a covert from the tempest of affliction. He is the one that brings refreshment. He is the shadow from the burning heat of affliction, the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the psalmist knew that at this time. Yes, he brings his tears to the Lord, but he goes to the Lord because he knows the Lord to be a refuge. He's wandering, but he goes to the Lord on his wanderings. And when we know what it is to go from place to place, maybe physically or inwardly, we know where we're to go to as well. We're to go to the Lord. And we note that here in verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? The Lord knows. Thou tellest my wanderings. He knows. It's known to him. It's recorded. The wanderings of the psalmist. His tears as he wanders, they're in the book, aren't they? Verse 8, are they not in thy book to be reviewed by the Lord? To be stored, as we will come to in a moment, to consider the bottle in a merciful way, in the book to be reviewed as well. Well, he knows our wanderings. Thou tell us. He marks as a tally. He numbers, records. I remember when I was at school a few decades ago, one of the first things the teacher would do was get out the register and put little marks in the register to record who was there. But the Lord makes a tally. The Lord knows. It's recorded. All your wanderings are known to the Lord. Your wanderings in this life, through the valleys of affliction, through the rivers of adversity, your wanderings in your mind, it's known. He knoweth our frame. That's humbling because he knows our sin. But he knows the trials, the complexities we face with him. He knows. He knew the wanderings of the psalmist, and the psalmist recognized it. Do you recognize this morning? Can you say to the Lord, thou tellest my wanderings, thou dost know, Lord. It's all known to thee. All my tears are known to thee, those tears I shed in my wanderings. He observes your steps, the paths you go down, the trials you face. And that's a comfort, isn't it? Sometimes, as we see in Psalm 142, one can feel alone. The Lord is watching. What a comfort. In Deuteronomy 2, verse 7, in that speech or sermon Moses gave, rehearsing the journey of the children of Israel to the promised land, we read in Deuteronomy 2, verse 7, for the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy wanderings through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord thy God hath been with thee, thou hast lacked nothing. These 40 years. He knows thy walking through this great wilderness. He knows the way, and he leads us forth in the right way, and he knows the walk on the way through this great wilderness. He knows every step you take, every tear you shed, as it was then, so it is today. He knows. He knew every step David made. When he went into Gath and then came out of Gath, he knew every tear David shed. He knows it all. like the father or mother who observes the tears flowing down the child's face, your Heavenly Father has been watching. He knows your wanderings. He doesn't miss anything, and so he doesn't miss one tear. Now he speaks of his tears in verse 8. Put thou my tears into thy bottom. My tears. Just pause and consider this again. He thinks here of the sorrows and afflictions he had faced as he went from place to place, particularly at this time. And those sorrows and afflictions that caused him to cry. Tears came down. And not just one, but a multitude, a river of tears. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. How great, and I say this carefully, is the bottle of the Lord. And are we not thankful like the psalmist? Because our tears are not just one or two. David knew great sorrow in his heart as he fled from Saul and found himself as an exile. We've all witnessed those who've had to flee Ukraine. And some of us have witnessed videos of Christians crying in Ukraine. The sorrow. What sorrow it is. Where next? What's going to happen? The fear, the concern that had come in. He knew great sorrow in the midst of his enemies, the strangers, the Philistines. He knew what it was to weep there in Gath, in the strange land, and so do we. We are strangers and pilgrims, aren't we? And we know what it is to weep in the strange land. He felt inward pain. However, he looked up to the Lord in his sorrow and placed his confidence in him. And that's what you're to do. And that's what I am to do. Yes, at times we need to say, and we'll come back to this in a moment, with that one of old who said it with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. But Lord, I'm looking to thee. Now what does the psalmist say here? Put thou my tears into thy bottom. Put them there. Now the Lord knows everything. He observes. He knows our sorrow. We could say, as it were, it's all there already. But here's the exercise of faith. Here's the putting one's trust in the Lord. Put thou my tears into thy bottom. And what we're saying here, Lord, we know that thou dost observe all things, but particularly observe my tears at this time. Put thou my tears into thy bottom. Dear congregation, it is not unusual for the tears to flow. The believer faces trials. There is a cross to bear in following Christ, and the cross is heavy at times. There's pain and sorrow. One can be mocked by others, by those who do not love the Lord, those who are the enemies of the cross of Christ, as I read this morning in Philippians. And it's not easy. Not easy to be in the midst of those who don't love the Lord. I remember the first time I went away from home to college for a block release week down in Kent. What did I do on the Monday evening? I just went to a bench and I cried. I was staying with a couple. I didn't do it in their lounge. I went out for a little walk. I said, I'm going for a walk. And I went down to the village. I didn't know really where I was, but I found this bench and I cried. And there was this phone box next to the bench. And I thought, I'm going to phone my mother and my father up to come and get me. But I didn't. It's not easy. There were people in the college, these lads who were strong, and they mocked me. They laughed at me and made me cry. And that's how it can be at times. People can be so unkind. David faced unkind and malicious words. plots were schemed against him. Notice verse 2, mine enemies would daily swallow me up, and they'd be consumed in such sorrow and pain, for there be many that fight against me, O thou most high. How they spake against him. Notice verse 5, every day they rest my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil. They rest, literally from the Hebrew, they vex, they carve his words. They fabricate them. They do an injustice to his words and put another meaning on them. Spurgeon wrote, they put our language on the rack. They extort meanings from it which it cannot be made fairly to contain. Reverend John Brown of Hamilton wrote, of the resting, to turn by force to a wrong sense or purpose. And you know how it is. Sometimes they're laughing at you and you say something, you then have to say, well, I didn't mean that. But they try to make out that you did mean that. They rest my words. They rest my words and hurt my heart. Oh, what men can do. Consider the next psalm, which we believe and know was penned on a subsequent occasion in a cave. Psalm 57 verse 4, my soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. All what we can face, and it's not easy, and it hurts, and it can cause us to weep. Or what the Lord's people face. Believers will suffer in following Christ. The tears will flow as they look unto Christ, who is the joy of their life. In Acts 14 verse 22 we read, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Through much, through our wanderings, through all that we face, we will face much tribulation. The believer will suffer. There are his wanderings. There's a cross to bear. There's the tears that flow. But let's just open this up a little further as we think of David's tears. Maybe some hardship comes, like a wave crashing down upon you. It seems calm, but then in the distance, on the horizon, you notice that the sea is brewing, and then the waves come. Well, that's how it is. Sometimes it's calm, we look out as it were, but then the waves come and they crash down upon us, and we find ourselves in difficulties, maybe in the workplace, the home, and we begin to cry. Somebody's ill and we're upset, we're concerned. Somebody dies and the tears flow. And that empty chair can be wet with tears. My tears. The sorrow hits like that wave. It hits the heart, and the heart is agitated, and the emotions well up, and now the eyes redden. And then what happens, children? The tears begin to flow. And often it's just one or two, and then there comes a river of tears. Such sorrow. But the psalmist says here, my tears. It's a very personal thing, isn't it? It's very near to the heart, isn't it? My tears, and there are certain things that so affect us, our minds and our hearts. My tears. You know, we pray to the Lord for others, our brothers and sisters in Christ, when they're going through affliction. When one member suffers, all the members suffer with them. But then there are the personal things we face. And yes, we pray for others, but then we bring our own tears, our own sorrows to the Lord. We have things that come to us individually. There are things that affect us collectively. And like I've already said, when one suffers, the other suffers. But there are particular things that are just for us. And the Lord knows my tears, my sorrows. There are times when there is open grief and certain ones are crying. But then there's other times, like it was for David, in the quiet, in private, and the tears are shed. No one's looking on. You're on your own. And you weep. My tears. Psalm 6 verse 6, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. I'm weary with my groaning. So weary. And you know how it is. You are perplexed. You're cast down. You begin to cry and the minutes pass. And you're focusing on the affliction. You're trying to focus on the Lord. But on it goes and the tears continue to flow and you get exhausted. I'm weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. So weary. But you remember your great friend in the court of heaven. He was a man of sorrows and so he was touched. He is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. My tears, but they're seen by the Lord. Those tears of confusion, those tears of disappointment, those tears of pain. Tears of confusion. Was it really meant to be like this? I remember a pastor's wife coming up to me a few years ago when I preached on this psalm. She said, yes, which way next, Lord? Which way next? Tears of confusion, tears of disappointment. It's not what you hoped it to be. Tears of pain, tears of sorrow. Now tears often flow when one is struggling, sometimes with unbelief. And we see that in Mark 9, verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Now sometimes one is so focused on the Lord, and yet they're crying. But other times they're seeking to focus, but they're struggling with unbelief, and they're crying. Make it known to the Lord. Did that father of that child keep back the tears from Jesus? Do we ever do that? Don't do it. Don't keep back your tears from Jesus. You may put a brave face on with others, but there's no need with the Lord Jesus. He said it with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. The psalmist knew what it was to cry. My tears, I am weary with my groaning all the night, make I my bed to swim, I water my couch with tears. Just pause. Have you mourned over your sin in that initial way? And evidence is there's times when we mourn over our sin as believers. I remember when I was 8 years of age, I cried over my sins and I shed many a tear before my Heavenly Father since. My tears, tears of sorrow, but then there's also tears of love. My tears, I've been struggling, I've been wandering, I bring them to thee, but I also have tears of love because I come to thee. We turn to the one we love. My tears. For David considers here his tears, his sorrows, his afflictions, the outward pain, but also the inward grief. And what does he say? Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Put thou, Lord, take my tears and put them in thy bottle. He's asking the Lord to store his tears. And that leads us to consider, secondly, God's bottom. Put thou my tears into thy bottom. We think of the bottom here. Anciently, it was made out of the skin of an animal. It would be dried. A skin bottom we can particularly consider here. And when the bottle had been treated, liquid then could be stored within and preserved. But David says here, put thou my tears into thy bottle, a place where they will be kept, preserved, and remembered. Now we think of the book as well, at the end of verse 8, and that particularly leads us to consider that the Lord will review. And are we not reminded on that great day to come, the books will be opened, and those who caused us great pain will be shamed on that day. Those tears were remembered in the book. Look what you did to them. That's one of the meanings here. But let's particularly consider, put thou my tears into thy bottom, in that place where they are kept, preserved, and remembered. Simply consider, the Lord knows. He has a mind. He stores. There's a remembrance. Listen to Robert Hawker, 1753 to 1827. What a sweet thought is suggested here of God's remembrance of his people's affliction. Your sorrows are not unknown. Your sorrows are not forgotten. He knows. Here David is asking, put my tears into thy mind. What's the psalmist asking? In such a gracious way, in such a merciful way at this present time when I'm crying, remember me, Lord, and my tears. He remembers us all the time. He knows our tears. But here's the act of faith. Put down my tears. Lord, take these present tears and the tears I have shed in the experience and through the wandering, have them so in thy mind. Now, his knowledge is infinite. It knows no bounds. In Psalm 147, verse 5, we read, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. So great, he knows all things. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Such knowledge, verse 6 of Psalm 139, is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. So great! Thou dost observe my down-sitting in affliction and mine uprising. Thou dost look on me at the end of the day and at the beginning of the day. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Such is thy infinite knowledge. But here in verse 8, think in such a special way on me at the present time. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. He knows, Psalm 103, verse 14, he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. And that's why the believer asked the Lord that their tears would be put into his bottle. Because he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows, he remembers, he has it stored. In a gracious, fatherly and compassionate way, he has our tears stored this morning. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. And does this not speak that the psalmist was mindful of the care, the tender care of the Lord? For he would entrust his delicate tears to the Lord, knowing that the Lord would handle and remember them in a wonderful way. You think of the glass merchant. He will handle very carefully the fragile, delicate items of glass. I remember a number of years ago, I went into a jeweller's to pick up an engagement ring. And the man put on his gloves, his soft white gloves, and handled the little ring very carefully. It wasn't too expensive, I have to confess, but he still handled it carefully. But a glass merchant will handle with care and will watch over what he is doing. Consider your Heavenly Father. He handles you with such care, and he stores with such a tender care your tears. He remembers us with such a tender care. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. And he does. He remembers with such a kind hand. He receives the precious ointment. Is handled with care. He treats you as precious, and so he handles you with such care. Isaiah 40, verse 11, we see this of the Lord. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. He gently leads those that are with young. We think of the ewes there. They're about to give birth, or they have given birth. So gently lead them. With a kind hand. So gracious. He puts on us no more than we can bear. Isaiah 40, verse 11. Consider the bottom. He has such a compassion. He has such a pity. And he remembers your sorrow. He stored them. He's not unmindful. He's touched. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a fellow feeling. Hebrews 4 verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's touched. That's why we ask him to take our tears. Because we've discovered a little of Jesus so far. He's so kind. He's so gracious. We can entrust our tears to him. We can entrust our tears to our Heavenly Father. Here's the psalmist. He knows a little of what the Lord is like. And he's at peace to entrust his sorrows, his tears to him. He's at peace that the Lord will remember in a gracious way. He will store them. He hears the cries of his people. And he will come to their aid. Psalm 34 verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Why? Well, one of the reasons is this. Because he has tenderly kept those tears in his bottle. See, there's a purpose. Why he stores up the tears in his mind, in his bottle, for his glory. But also that he would so help his people and in time come to their aid. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? He stores and he reviews. He will deal with those, as already mentioned, who stand up against us. And if they die in their sins, what a day is coming for them on the day of judgment. The Lord will speak of your sorrows on that day to the condemnation of the ungodly. John Gill writes, that they might be brought forth on another day and shown to the aggravation of the condemnation of wicked men. But you consider our sorrows. He stores them to help you and in time to come to your aid. In closing, consider these words. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? You may have something precious. And you ask a friend, can you look out to this? For your tears are precious. You go to your father. Store them. I bring my tears to thee. I'm sure you've done that, but can I ask you this morning, are you doing it again at this very moment? I bring my tears to thee. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to confess what I'm going through, O Lord, to thee. I'm not ashamed of the tears that are flowing down my face, Lord. I bring them to thee. I'm struggling, but I know all will be well. If thou hast my tears, And the great comfort is he has our tears already. But here's the exercise of faith. Take them, Lord. Store them. I bring them. I cast them down before thee. 1 Peter 5 verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You ask the Lord. He will answer it. And he will answer even before we ask at times. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Put them, Lord. He's done it already. He will answer. He will not turn you away. Or that the Father giveth thee shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You went on that initial time. He did not turn you away, dear child of God. You grow by faith in varying circumstances. He won't turn you away. He's not turned one of your tears away. Those penitent tears, as you have confessed your sin, and those tears of affliction when you were struggling in the valley. He's got them all. Here upon earth, I can keep on crying because I have a heavenly Father who will not forget me, but will store my tears. Let that be a comfort to you in affliction. You can go on crying, because the bottle is infinite and he will never forget. You can trust him. So you go back. You go back to him. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. You trust him. Entrust him with your sorrows. I don't understand, Lord, you may say. Be honest. It's good to be honest at times. But you trust him. Here they are, Lord. Thy providence is most wise. You go and lean on him. When one is upset, sometimes they will go and cry on a friend's shoulder. You look by faith and you cry on him. Song of Solomon 8 verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning on her beloved? Who is it? When I was a boy, I used to lean on my father in the sermons. On one occasion, I wasn't well, and I leant on someone else. I don't know who he was, but he was kind to me when I woke up in the sermon. You can lean on the friend. You can trust him. Lean on him. In John 13, verse 23, we read, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. You lean on him, he so loves you. You talk to him. You go to him. That's what the psalmist is doing. You go to him with your tears. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. I remember when I was a boy, sometimes my mother would say to me, don't keep it back, Aaron. What's up? And the Lord says to you, don't keep it back. What's up? Tell me everything. Let me hear thy voice. Song of Solomon 2, verse 14. In praise, yes, but also in prayer. And when you're struggling, let me hear thy voice, says Jesus. How do we respond to him? Well, we can respond like this. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. You look to him by faith, but don't be ashamed of your tears. That man again, he cried out and said, with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. He has such a great bottle. So great, he can store all your tears. I do not know how many more tears you're going to shed here upon earth. But I know this, there's more than enough room for them in the mind of the Lord. And not just for your tears, but all the tears, all the sorrows of his people. And as all the Lord's people put their tears, bring their tears to the Lord, there still is such plenty, plenteous room. And so all God's people here below can keep going back. and asking the Lord to put their tears into the bottle. You can keep saying to him, I bring my tears to thee. Sometimes there's tears in the service of the Lord. We can bring those tears to him. Psalm 126 verse 5, they that sow in tears. But we bring our tears to the Lord in the service of the Lord, knowing joy will follow. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. In conclusion, consider the end of crying for the believer. Maybe in a certain trial. The Lord may bring you to a point because he's not forgotten your tears, and he's most wise and most holy, and he may bring you to that point and there's no more tears in that trial because that trial has passed. He stored your tears for a purpose, to bring you to the end of that trial. The Lord hasn't forgotten. Remember the children of Israel? The Lord said to Moses at the burning bush, and we must conclude in Exodus 3 verse 7, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Years had passed, but those years were coming to an end, and soon there would be deliverance. And you may say to me, but the years have passed. But his bottle is still there, and he's not forgotten, and he in time will come to help you. But then consider this in conclusion. One day all your trials will be over, for in heaven there is no place for tears. There will be no sorrow. One will be made perfect, so the believer will never shed a tear again in view of their sin. That's wonderful, isn't it? But God will wipe away our tears when we're made perfect. You know, we're taught daily to seek forgiveness in the directory for prayer. But there will come the last day we need to pray that. That's encouraging, isn't it? And in heaven we'll be perfect. We won't need to shed a tear in a penitent way, but also all our sorrows will be behind us. No more tears. Tears are for this present world, but not for heaven and the heavenly world to come. You will be asking the Lord again to put your tears in his bottle. They're there, but you're exercising faith. Lord, look on me in a special way. But one day, you won't need to pray that to the Lord. No tears in heaven. No tears in the heavenly world after the great day. Revelation 21 verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The former things, they're the present now, but they will be the former. What joy, what comfort you will know. But not so for those that die in their sins. We have those solemn words in Matthew 25 verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. How solemn. If you're without Christ, oh, that you would be led unto him. But for you, dear child of God, no more tears. No more tears when you get to heaven and then to the heavenly world. Put thou my tears in thy bottle, remember them. Help me, strengthen me in a gracious way. Come to my aid. Help me until thou dost wipe away all my tears. Your tears are only for a while. Sometimes a friend may take a tissue out of a box to give you, and you wipe your tears away. But it's not long before you need another tissue, is it? And another one, and another one. One day God will wipe away your tears, and you'll never cry again. Look to the Lord by faith. Trust him. Believe it. Believe he will store your tears now, and then believe one day he will wipe them all away. And he will, because he has them stored now. And he will, because he who is gracious to store your tears will be gracious one day to wipe them away. And what a thought, and I say this with closing, what a wiping it will be. And you'll be aware of it. Because joy will fill your heart. Peace will fill your heart. Low thoughts will be gone. Anxious thoughts will disappear. Sorrows will flee away. What a wiping it will be. Until then, you entrust your tears to the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, we do exactly that. We entrust our tears to thee. We know that thou hast them already stored from one point of view. But Lord, we by faith, though we may struggle, we bring our tears to thee now. And we entrust all that we face in life to thee. We roll the whole burden of life upon thee, O Lord. We entrust our tears to thee, knowing that one day thou wilt wipe them all away. And Lord, we will entrust them into safe hands, the hands that will support, and the hand one day that will wipe them away. Blessed be thy glorious name. Amen. We turn to our final praise, Psalm 9. Psalm 9. Time is gone, but I'd like us to sing this psalm. It's hard to break this psalm up. Psalm number 6, rather. Behold the psalm, Lord, in thy wrath rebuke me not, nor in thy hot rage chasten me. Lord, pity me, for I am weak. Heal me, for my bones vexed be. Psalm 6, verses 1 to 10, and the tune is Woodworth.
Lord, in thy wrath
my soul set free.
The Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
Amen.